It's time for a community connection. Hopefully you're having a great day so far. We have a special guest with us. It's a man from Oshaleta. He goes by the name of Jack Smith. But on Tiger King Season 2, he goes by Ripper. Ripper, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for having me. I'm trying to stay afloat of all these things happening after being in this somewhat crazy show.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I know everybody kind of got wrapped up in it in 2020, and you just made it to the scene in 2021. I know in the documentary on Netflix, they call you an armchair sleuth, or at least you call yourself that, trying to get down to the bottom of the Don Lewis case. What did Carol Baskin do or not do? What has that been like for you to kind of follow this case?
It's been kind of crazy, actually, because I saw the show like almost everybody else in the world saw it. And after I had seen the show, I wanted to know, well, whatever happened with Don Lewis in the case, what have people found out? And when I started going online to look, I couldn't find anything. There was not anyone out there that had actually done like a deep dive. There wasn't. Normally you'll find a Reddit thread where there's all this information of, you know, people saying, hey, this has been found. There was none of that. So I reached out to a couple of people that I knew that had worked on a wrongful conviction case in the past that I kind of dipped into. And we formed a Facebook group. And before I knew it, we had a couple hundred people in there that were researching documents. And within, I think we created that group on April 1st. On April 2nd, I actually had Kenny Farr's ex-wife, and Kenny Farr was the handyman of Don Lewis, actually had his ex-wife on my YouTube channel interviewing her, and she was telling this crazy story about how she knew Don Lewis was missing before anyone else because her husband came home and told her he was missing. And not only that, he came home driving the van that belonged to Don Lewis that was eventually found at the airport. But he also had a collection of guns that belonged to Don Lewis, like 50 plus guns. Wow. And I just thought, this is a pretty crazy story. And she claims that her husband told her, you know, don't talk about Don Lewis. He's missing. Nobody knows where he's at. And there's all these guns involved. And long story short, the guns ended up at the sheriff's department. They still have the guns. I mean, it kind of appears what she said is true. I mean, I haven't been able to not corroborate her story. Everything matches up. There's police records that corroborate her story. But that's how I got involved. And then after that, it was just one person after another that I interviewed on my channel and talked to. And one of the really crazy things is when I went to Florida and started meeting with people, there are people there that had been saving documents for 20 plus years regarding Don Lewis. And a lot of them don't know each other, but they've been working on this case on their own, saving everything. And it was amazing to go meet with these people who would have boxes and boxes of emails that were printed off from 1997, 1998, 2000. And I mean, I was amazed at how many people just had so much information. I thought, why have they saved this stuff for so long? But now I know why, because there's a lot of information, a lot of evidence out there that make it appear that Don Lewis was murdered and he never left Tampa.
Tiger King Season 2 came out on Wednesday, November 17th. But how did they even reach out to you or find you that you were looking into this case?
When I interviewed Kenny Farr's ex-wife, she had actually filmed with the producers of the show for Season 1, but that did not make the cut because the producers could not corroborate her story about the guns. And so she had their information and she gave them my phone number. And then it wasn't long after that that we ended up finding the guns that the sheriff department had. But when I first started looking into it, I called the sheriff's department. They said, no, there are no guns. We never took them. Well, a little bit later, we did find out they took them, but they were listed under the wrong case number. You know, but yeah, they got a hold of me through her. She actually, what happened is we had uncovered some donations from the sheriff of Hillsborough County, which is the department that is investigating this case. But we had uncovered some donations by him and his wife through a foundation that they ran to Carol Baskin. And when we started publishing that on my YouTube channel, I got a call from the producers, you know, like, hey, how, like, where did you get this information, and what are your thoughts on it? And, you know, my thoughts was, this is a guy that's supposed to be investigating this case, but it shows that he's been donating money to Carol Baskin's nonprofit. Therefore, it's a pretty big conflict of interest, and he should pull himself off and hand it off to another agency. But that never happened. But that's what prompted them to call me, was that find right there. And then, of course, as I started telling them about the other things we had uncovered, it just continued into, you know, a bigger or longer conversation, or many more conversations, actually.
And looking at episode 2 and 3 of Tiger King season 2, I think at one point you mentioned that law enforcement don't like internet sleuths as much because they feel like you're stepping on their toes. Do you feel like you're stepping on their toes?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because I was there were times when I was pretty frustrated, where there was information that came out that they just weren't interested in. And matter of fact, I gave them witnesses to contact, and they never did contact them. And then at one point they eventually did, because it was thrown up in their face. But one of the goals that I had was to put some pressure on the sheriff's department, because when I talked to witnesses, for example, the housekeeper, you know, the housekeeper that Don Lewis had, she was a full-time housekeeper. She's there 40 hours a week. When I finally talked to her, I asked her, have you talked to law enforcement? And she said, no. And I just thought, why wouldn't they have talked to someone who actually was there 40 hours a week? And, you know, when I started learning that and talking to, like, the family and the daughters said, we were never talked to by the sheriff's department. Then I thought, they definitely need some pressure. The sheriff's department needs some pressure. So I did step on their toes on purpose, because I want them to do the work that they're paid to do. I mean, that's their job. You know, this family, they're taxpayers of that area. I don't think they actually live in the county, but still, that's the responsibility of the sheriff's department, is to do this investigation. But yeah, they do not like people like us that, I hate to say, that make them look bad or make them look like they're not doing their job. And that wasn't what I was trying to do. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even when you watch the show, Corporal Garcia even says something about me, and it's, you know, he's not giving me praise.
And looking at the show in its entirety, how do you feel like they do in terms of portraying what's going on with everything, especially the Don Lewis case?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. And I was filmed for over a year and a half. I mean, they filmed a lot of things that we had uncovered. But when I watched the show, there's, you know, maybe less than 5% of the stuff that we uncovered made it into the show. And I know they have time constraints and things like that. But I think they got some of it, you know, correct. There were some things that, you know, I thought, no, that it didn't even, like, the Homeland Security report, where someone reported seeing Don Lewis alive and well in Costa Rica. After looking into that, the sheriff's department said they went over there after they got that report, and when they came back, they deemed that the informant wasn't credible, that he was not seen over there. And, you know, I mean, that, when I saw that in the show, I just thought, I mean, I know 100% that report was not legit, that the informant was not credible, but it was in the show anyway. But, you know, it is a hurdle that has to be overcome, because when you have someone saying, oh, I saw him after he went missing, then it's definitely a hurdle that has to be overcome. But, you know, I wouldn't have put it in there, but I've addressed it since with the fact that, you know, the sheriff's department knew that it wasn't credible, and they even went over there, and it's all BS, basically. But, I mean, they did a pretty good job of, you know, putting certain information out there, like the notary that said, I don't remember signing the will, or I didn't sign that. And so, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job. I mean, it's their film at the end of the day.
What would you have liked to have seen in the documentary?
Oh, I would have liked to have seen more of the forged documents that we had uncovered that were connected to Don Lewis and his will, his power of attorney. There were some affidavits that Carol had submitted into court, and the notary, her signature was on those affidavits, and she clearly told me, I wouldn't have signed anything like that. I wish that stuff would have been in there. There were some other documents that we found, like there were properties that were given to Kenny Farr after Don Lewis went missing. That is pretty suspicious because Kenny Farr was the handyman. He did not manage properties for Don Lewis. But shortly after Don Lewis went missing, Carol transferred three properties, or gave Kenny three properties that we figured is worth about $200,000. And then over the course of the next 9 months, there were many more properties that were given to Kenny Farr, which we estimated to be worth around $1 million in property. And when I talked to his wife at the time about it, which is ex-wife now, she made it very clear to me that Kenny is not the kind of person that would be managing properties. He was a handyman, and now he works as a landscaper for different landscaping companies. But he doesn't come across as a guy that's out there managing property. So I wish they would have included that, because to me, it appears that those properties are some sort of payment or something. Of course, that's just my opinion, but I think they're an important part of this case.
And you brought some documentation with you today, some receipts. What can you tell me about those?
Yeah, these receipts are tied to that crazy septic tank theory that's out there. That, you know, if you saw season one, Joe Exotic's always talking about the septic tank. He's making jokes. There's tons of memes about Don Lewis being in the septic tank. And when I first started looking into the septic tank, I thought, you know, this is hogwash. You know, there's no way. And then Carol Baskin had come out and said that there's no way he could be in the septic, because that was installed long before Don Lewis went missing. And so I didn't really think too much of it. I just thought, okay, probably nothing to it. Well, the sheriff had a press conference, or he was on Nancy Grace or a show, and in that show, he mentioned the septic, and he said, yeah, we pulled the permits and we looked into it, and it wasn't installed until years after Don Lewis went missing. Well, when he said that, you know, my ears perked up, because I thought it was before. I said, now he's saying years, and I'm like, where's that coming from? So I started researching. I ended up talking to the actual person who owned the mobile home that the septic tank was installed at. Ended up meeting with her. She had boxes and boxes of information and documents that she had been saving for over 20 years. And as we're going through those, we uncover her papers for when she bought that mobile home. And in that was a booklet that had all the records of when she bought it, when she got the permit for the septic to be installed. She ended up getting the permit in June of 1997. Like June 25th, and Don Lewis went missing in August of 1997. So just a couple of months before she gets the permit. And then she gave me the actual receipts, which I brought with me today, and they're dated for August. Like August 6th of 1997 is when they brought the first load of dirt out for it. There's another receipt, August 5th, when the job was set up. But the most important one on here is the one dated for August 14th, which is the day before Don Lewis is last seen by his secretary. And that receipt shows that fill dirt was brought out. And when I talked to the company that installed this septic system, they said that's the last step that they do, is this fill dirt is brought out and that's used to put over the top of the septic. And they also told me that that septic had an 18-inch clean out on it. And they told me it'd be very easy to put someone in there that, you know, like Don Lewis weighed 150, 160 pounds. But they said it'd be very easy to get him into an 18-inch opening. But these documents, you know, I was very surprised the lady still had them. But they confirm that it is possible that he could be in that septic tank. And it makes me wonder, why would Carol put a story out saying the septic was put out long before Don Lewis went missing? You know, it's things like that that make me wonder, why is she not telling the truth about the septic? Is there something more to it?
And do you hope to present this evidence to law enforcement at all? What do you hope to do with this?
Everything we've uncovered, we have turned over to the Sheriff's Department. So they don't have these originals, but they've been scanned and they were sent to them. But they have everything we've uncovered, all the properties, forgeries, everything we've uncovered, we have handed over to the Sheriff's Department. We feel like they have enough to move forward, but, you know, we're what you call armchair detectives. So, you know, we can only give them what we find, and they have to, you know, do the rest of the job.
I say when I watch the show, I almost feel like an armchair detective. I just don't do any of the work. I'm just letting you do it and watching you.
Well, that's pretty common because there are a lot of people that have podcasts where they just go online and read a bunch of articles and they have discussions about these different things. But I mean, I've done that in the past as well, but I thought I should take it one step further and actually go to Florida and talk to some of these people that knew Don Lewis, meet with his family and see if they had information. Because I really thought just the quick information I had in the first few days, I thought there was enough information that we could make a big difference in finding out what really happened to Don Lewis. But yeah, you're like most people. You sit there and you do it in front of your computer. But I just took it a step further.
And looking at some of the articles that have come out recently, is there anything that kind of raises red flags to you in this Don Lewis case? Or?
Absolutely. Just in the last few days, Carol has gone out and done interviews. And when they're asking her about this report that was in the show about her husband being found alive, she's actually using that as, I can't believe it that he's alive. I never thought he would, you know, be able to survive, and he's done it, and I'm happy for him. And like, she's made comments trying to confirm that he really is alive. And from what I understand, well, when you do interviews, you can ask people to give you questions ahead of time, and then, and just for the record, you and I haven't done that, but you can also give whoever's interviewing you a list of questions that you would like to be asked as well. And I'm not so sure if some of those questions were set up so that Carol could use that report as factual evidence of him being alive, but that's a big concern for me, because if you just Google Don Lewis found alive, there's a lot of articles out there talking about him being alive, that he was seen alive. And that's a problem for me.
And speaking of Carol Baskin, this is in the show. These are her words, not mine. She says internet trolls are out there. She's called you one. What do you make of that comment?
Well, let me give you the backstory of that comment. I had emailed her. I had called enough messages to have her to interview her and talk with her. I offered to go dig up the septic system as well, because after Tiger King 1 came out, she said, if anybody wants to come dig up the septic, feel free. Just pay for a new one to be put in. And I said, OK. And I offered to do that. She never responded. Well, then I think a couple of weeks after that, she said the offer still stands, but no YouTubers are allowed. And then we actually had someone else offer to do it that was not a YouTuber. And then eventually Howard, her husband, came out and said, if someone wants to dig up the septic, they have to put up $100,000. And if he's in there, they'll get $100,000. If he's not, we keep the $100,000. So it was basically a $100,000 bet. But one of the forged documents we found, which is relating to this troll comment, Carol was doing a live show on YouTube with a guy that I had been talking to for days before the show. Matter of fact, I gave him a list of questions to ask her on the show, which she still doesn't know. Nobody knows about this. But him and I discussed it. And I said, what you got to do is get her talking about real estate. If you can get her to talk about real estate, you'll really get her to open up. And he did. And of all the interviews she did, this has been the best one because she really talks about the case more than any other interview. But during the interview, I asked a question on his chat where you have on YouTube, you have a super chat and you pay money and it highlights your question. In some of the documents, some of the trust documents we had uncovered, there was a person named Jamie Lewis in the documents. There is not a person actually named Jamie Lewis, but what someone had done is use Carol's daughter's name, who is Jamie, and just changed the last name to Lewis, which was Don Lewis's name, and they put that name in there as a witness. And at the time, Jamie would have been like 12 years old. So it was someone just signing a document, transferring, I believe it was transferring the trust to someone else or ownership of something. But we knew it was a fictitious person. So during that live interview, I did a super chat and I simply asked, who is Jamie Lewis? And I knew she could not answer the question because she'd incriminate herself if she answered. And when I did that, the host, Eric Hunley, he asked her, he says, Ripper Jack Media has a question. Who is Jamie Lewis? And her response was kind of funny because her first response was, oh, I won't even talk to that person. Like, instead of trying to answer the question, it was, oh, I won't even talk to that person. He is such a troll. I mean, that was her response to my question. And then Eric followed up with, oh, so have you done work with him in the past? Or and then she followed up with, you know, he's been riding on the coattail of this Tiger King thing. He's made a career out of bashing me. And that's just not true. What we do is we find information I put on my YouTube channel. But that's why she called me a troll, because I called her out on this document. And she knows that Jamie Lewis is not a real person. It's a fake name that was used to not draw attention to this property being transferred over to someone else.
Well, you still have the YouTube page. It's what is it?
It's Ripper Jack Media. Yeah, if you go to YouTube and you just search Ripper Jack Media, it's right there. You'll find it. All my social media is under Ripper Jack Media.
And obviously, we've talked about a lot of things regarding this Don Lewis case. My question for you is, what's next for you?
We are still uncovering information. We just put up another billboard in Tampa. We have back last summer, we put up four billboards in Tampa with the $100,000 reward that we raised. Our tip line is on there. 2 days before this show came out, we put another billboard up in Tampa with the rewards. And right now, I'm just going through all the phone calls from the tip line because I run the tip line. The family wanted the tips to come to us, to them, because they were worried that if they went elsewhere, nobody would ever know about it. So currently, we are going through these tips on the tip line and waiting for, you know, someone that has some firsthand information to come forward and say, I have important information. You know, that's where we're at right now. We're still going 90 miles an hour trying to find out what happened to Don Lewis.
And ballpark, do you know how many tips you've taken for this case?
Since the show came out, easily over 1,000. It's when the show came, I think 2 days after the show came out, every 2 to 3 minutes the tip line was ringing. And now it's every maybe 10 minutes, but it's nonstop.
And how do you determine which tips are credible and which ones might be not so credible?
That's a really great question. Most of them, most 99% of them are Carol Baskin did it. Watch Tiger King, you'll know who did it. Most of them are people that I don't know if they've been drinking or what's happening, but most of it is just, I guess it's humor for them. But as you listen to them, once you know, and I ran the tip line last year, you kind of get a sense of who's real and who's not with some of the things that they leave on the tip line. But you have to call, you know, anyone that says I have information and they don't give you anything after that, you have to call them up. And then when they give you whatever it is, you have to try to corroborate what they're saying. And sometimes you can't corroborate it, and you just turn that information over to the sheriff's department, say, hey, here's, you know, someone called in, this is what they said, and let the sheriff's department handle it. But there's some that come in that, like, for example, the notary that was on the will and the power of attorney. And of course, she called the tip line and said, I didn't sign it. Matter of fact, what she said also is Carol helped her get her notary stamp, and the notary stamp wasn't even mailed to her house. It was mailed to Carol's house, which that tells you something there. And she said, I didn't even know where that notary stamp was most of the time. But that notary stamp is on hundreds of documents. And she told me, I didn't even, like, I didn't keep a logbook. I didn't know I was supposed to. She's like, Carol was the one that had me get that thing. I mean, that's pretty telling, that in itself. And the fact that we have handwriting experts that show that her signature have been traced as well. That's, you know, their opinion looking at things. It's, you know, it's very telling. But that was something that came from the tip line, which that was a pretty big break in the case when you have the notary of the will and the power of attorney, which we think is fake, come forward and say, I didn't sign that.
And for anybody that's listening or by chance stumbles upon this story, what's that tip line?
The tip line is 646-450-6530. I'll say it again, 646-450-6530.
We're speaking with Jack Smith of Oshelada, Oklahoma. He's in Tiger King Season 2, Goes by Ripper. Is there anything else that you would like to mention about this case or the show?
No. I just appreciate you having me. And it was and has been a crazy ride. And watch the show. It's very, especially episodes 2 and 3, they're very, very interesting.
It's now out on Netflix. Make sure to go see Ripper on there, and we'll get to the bottom of this Don Lewis case one way or another.
We will. Thank you for having me, and I'm Ripper, and I'm out.